It is a different slide, Mark reminded me. This is the conclusion of Law and Grace. We've been in Ephesians, all the way up to Ephesians 5:1 today, and then we're going to be doing some other things. But I really thought, looking at this, that we really need to sum this thing up. And here is my heart question to us. Grace has set us free, so why do we still live, or why don't we live like it? Can you see that on there? Why don't we live like it? And my goal this morning, and I've been praying all week, that the Holy Spirit will transfer Paul's thoughts to your heart and life and see the chains broken in your life. And what it means to live by faith and freedom, to live in peace rather than the intensity and the uptightness and the anxiety, attempting to prove to God your worth rather than simply accepting what God says. So I want to start out with Philippians 4:6. It says, don't be worried or anxious for any reason. Well, Paul, that's a tall order, isn't it? Yet it's possible, or he wouldn't tell us to do that, not to worry or be anxious for any reason. You know, I have a friend, and actually I have several that fit this scenario, and you probably too, but this friend once excitedly served in church and as much as he could over the years, but finally burned out. Because he said, God required too much of me. And he dropped out of church and finally out of the faith and wanted nothing to do with the church anymore. Or feeling like there's just no way he could please God, so forget it. But it wasn't God at all, was it? It was self-imposed expectations that caused the collapse. Because this is what God says in our verse today, Galatians 5:1, and I put it in the New Living Translation, sorry. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Now, I know many of you have woken up to that life of freedom in Christ, not just a belief, but emotionally accepted. Knowing and trusting in His love and having believed His promises given to you and me, like His being us being His children, being accepted by Him. In fact, if you pull out your bulletin, okay, you're going to find out that I actually put two inserts in here, one for you and one for a mate or friend. And it says on here, our promises. And you know, it's been a while since we've gone over the promises that God gives us through the Apostle Paul. And we want to look at these. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We are holy. We are without blame. We're acquitted of our sin. We are adopted into the Father's family. We have been made acceptable. We have been redeemed. All this is in Ephesians 1 and 2, Romans 6. And it's a whole list of things. And I would ask that maybe as you peruse this, you might put it on your refrigerator or put it in your car and think about the promises that God has given you. Because I think what happens in our Christian life is we kind of forget what God says about us, and we keep thinking we got to perform, right? We got to keep doing stuff, and which ends up causing a crisis in our life. So we don't have to perform for His love, because He already says, "I've loved you with a great love," Ephesians 2:5, I think. And I know that this is taking place because we have visitors that come in from time to time, and one came in last week and said, you know what, there is a calm and a love and an inviting atmosphere that he has never felt before in a church. I thought, cool. That demonstrates that a lot of us are starting to get it, are starting to let go of that tenseness and be able to look at what God says to us. And it gives you and me the hope that we will all come to rest in Christ's freedom and love each other and serve each other through love rather than forced performing for things he has already given us. And that's why the list. Because that is what God purposed in us. Living in love, which fulfills the whole law. I love that. Okay? which in the law was actually given to Israel. It was supposed to do the same thing. Listen to this in Leviticus 19:18. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, he said that is what the whole goal, the whole law and the prophets are. And so you know what Israel did? They immediately turned around and said, well, who's our neighbor? Do you remember asking Christ? And so Christ uses the enemy and their enemy that was good to them. And so they decided, you know what? Their neighbor is only other Jews. Don't we do those things to ourselves? And so it was much easier for them to love their neighbors themselves. But Israel attempted to be blameless by laws given to them and thought that was the goal. And so they chained themselves with this rigid obedience, but not necessarily love. So let me illustrate this out of my own life. As I went through high school and I became a senior, I could not wait to get out of the house. Anybody kind of in that same thing? Went, yeah, you know, it was, my family had an innumerable, you couldn't count the rules. And I'm kind of dense to a lot of rules, and so I was breaking them all the time, and, you know, it was causing a lot of frustration. I finally said, that's it. I left the house with 50 cents in my pocket and never came back because I just couldn't take it. And so, what's interesting, and my sisters were the same way. They couldn't take it either. It was choking all of us. And yet I didn't understand how much I absorbed in those performance rules and thought them necessary, which was sucking the life out of me, like my friend that left the faith. But once I was gone from the house, I felt an incredible freedom. And you know, I felt that, I remember I left right after high school was over, and my parents called me and said, hey, will you come for Christmas? We're going to have Christmas morning. And I thought, okay. So I came back, and as soon as I hit the door, it was like this wall of oppression. All these rules, and I knew I was going to screw up on their rules again. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, you're all kind of looking like, boy, Steve, are you crazy? Okay. But yet, after I was gone, I felt this loss of structure, like I needed some kind of structure in my life, kind of a void to be filled, and it led to chaos in my life. So I went by my hippie rules. Okay, I was a true hippie, you know. Okay, everybody else is a pretend hippie. Okay, all right. So my hippie rules were like this. I'm just going to name a few, okay? Go with the flow. Well, that's a good rule, isn't it? How can you not go with the flow, okay? Don't let the tame ones tell you how to live. Yeah, the tamed animals, right? Anything goes so long as you don't hurt anyone else. We still use that today, don't we? Isn't that funny? Always give out good vibes. Love the one you're with. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, if you remember them. Take a walk on the wild side. Make love, not war. Turn on, tune in, drop out. Well, those were some pretty good rules. And they were man's wisdom, weren't they? And trying to experience freedom, but it bound me in chains because of the sin and the unholy consequences that followed that kind of thinking. But when I came to Christ, I began adopting God's instructions one by one, kind of testing and approving because I didn't want to take on all these rules. And so I looked at each one that God was asking me, but the rule of thumb was I was adding them by love first and rules not first. And I think Galatians struggle with a similar problem because somehow they didn't understand the freedom that they had in Christ. It finally began to wear on them, and so they began to listen to these Jewish Christians who told them, you need to obey Moses, you need to be circumcised, you need to adopt their manner of life in order to be saved. And so the Galatians listened to man's wisdom, which was rules, rules, rules. Crashed and burned and fell from freedom of grace to the chains of the law, which was never meant to be for them. But God says we are removed from and have no part of the Mosaic law, as did the Galatians. But most of us seem to graduate to embrace a legalistic style of living, don't we? Come on, let's honest up here. We start getting legalistic. We start judging everybody around us because they're not measuring up to what we think is the right thing to do. But the truth is, faith is ours. Through Christ's faith, we've been freed to love and serve those around us. Not by rules, but by love's motivation. Not by desperation, but by his love for us. And the question must be answered, and I'm sure this question has come up, Steve. Are you saying then that we don't need to act right? That we don't need to follow what God says? No, I'm not saying that. Not at all. There are many instructions that help us recognize that keeps us from having consequences to sin. So the next question would be, was the law bad? And I want to quote Paul from this. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But it wasn't. But with it came a no-heart instruction, the do's and don'ts, and we ultimately find the goal is to love God and the people around us. That's the real goal, isn't it? Which ends up doing what the law attempted to do in the first place. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Now I want you to think about this for a minute. All of the law of Moses, all the things the prophets said throughout the Old Testament and into the New, come down to love God and love people. Love God and love people. And it replaces Moses' law. It replaces the prophet's demands. Listen to Paul as he explains the process. He says, "Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that, and now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian." We don't need it as our guardian. Because Paul says this. Well, in fact, I want to start from Leviticus 19:18. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," Leviticus 19:18. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," Galatians 5:14. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," Matthew 19 and Matthew 22. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," Mark 12. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," Luke 10. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," Romans 13. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, James 2. They all sound kind of the same, don't they? I thought that was going to be a big expository there. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law. A single commandment that replaces the law. Love God and love your neighbor. In the Christian life is lived by love rather than rules. Do you believe that in your heart? And I'm going to say probably not. Because you still feel like you have to do certain things, right? And so I want to concentrate on the first verse of chapter 5 of Galatians. Stand fast, stand on solid ground, therefore in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entrapped in slavery. Do we stand fast in our freedom which Christ gave us? Paul is saying this to us. Be unchained. Unchained. Be free. Be free. Fulfill God's law of love rather than performing it. You know, this week, just a few days ago, we have a gal, Crystal Suskovic. Many of you know Matt and Crystal. And she's flying in and out. So she stays over at the house about every other week. And so she was needing a ride to the airport, or we thought she was needing a ride. And so Debbie says, well, Steve would be glad to take you. No. So she goes, we need to ask Steve. And I said, no, I'd be glad to take you. And so we got into this discussion about, man, it's a big fat hassle, and it's a frustration, and why would you take me to the airport when you have to go out of your way? And, you know, we talked about that for a while, and Debbie's saying, well, that's just the way Steve is. He likes doing those kind of things. And I thought, okay, why do I like doing those kind of things? And I thought, oh, wait a minute. I'm preaching the sermon here, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Use your freedom, not for the flesh, but serve one another. And I thought, oh, I wish I had remembered to tell Crystal that. First John says this, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We are able to serve, we are able to do things out of the basis of love. And not out of the basis of rules. You get that this morning? Love bypasses needed rules, because if you really truly love God and people, all the rules are covered, is what Paul's saying. And the question is, do we get that? Do we really get that in a heart value? You know, it's so funny because a lot of times, and I'm going to say this, and you guys know this too, you see people under stress as a Christian, right? And they're stressed out, and you can see it on their face. You can see the tenseness. You can see that they live according to the rules. Do you know who I'm talking about? It's probably the person sitting next to you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. And they do that for a relationship with God, using rules to get to God. And some work hard at it. I mean, sometimes I feel like giving them a certificate or something, saying, man, you are really hammering. I want to give you this certificate for the trying, but, you know, the bottom line is it's not trying, it's love. You see the lips and the jaw. They're tight, and you see that strong look of almost hardness. And you might even hear it in their voice. This closed demeanor, or maybe even stubbornness, because they're trying to hang on to having that relationship with God when God already promised it and gave it to us. The worship team would return to the stage. So my question is, how long before someone like that ends up becoming ill? Because they're unable to relax in God when they are desperate to perform the rules. And my question really is for you, does that describe you this morning? Are you all uptight about the rules and following the rules? Are you trying to create your own righteousness, maybe muscle out your obedience, living by the rules and getting uptight when others around you don't? And, you know, it's really hard when you're performing all the rules and stuff and somebody around you isn't doing that and they're not even kind of connecting with you. And you think, they're flakes, right? They're flakes, man. They just seem to be enjoying life and not caring that much. God never meant for us to be uptight. It's hard on the body, physically and mentally. And I have to look at it and I think, well, do we see the picture of Jesus with a tight lip and tight cheeks and rigid? No, just the opposite was true. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, God isn't impressed with your religiosity, okay? He's looking for hearts that are like his. Where is your heart this morning, my friend? We are free. We are free from the tension. We are free to do things wrapped up in love. 5:13 says this, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty or freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. It's time to break the chains, amen? It's time to let go of those chains that have you so wrapped up. Instead, let's love each other and let's love God and let's share that with each other. And when people need help, we can do that because we love them. Not because we have to, but because we love them. We love him because he first loved us, 1 John said. I love that verse. We're going to share in the Lord's Supper. We have two tables over here, and we have two tables over here. And if you're new here, we just would love it if you join us. It's a celebration of Christ's death. And through his death, we have eternal life. Amen? And so we're going to celebrate that together, and we're going to worship together. So you can just get up and go get those, the bread and the juice, and maybe if you're sitting next to someone, get it for them so we don't have to have two long lines. Come back and we'll finish worshiping, and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together. You know, Jesus did a tremendous act of love, didn't he? Dying for us, paying for our sin. When he was in the upper room, he was about all that when the disciples didn't really know what was going to happen. And he took the bread. There's two pieces of the Passover. One is the bread at the beginning and one is a cup after supper, after the Passover. And he took the bread and he said, this represents my body which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me and let's eat together. And then he took the cup after supper, and it was actually the third cup called the cup of redemption. And we are redeemed. And he said, when you drink this, this represents my blood. When you drink this, remember me. Let's remember him this morning. Father, we thank you so much that you are willing to come and die for us, to give us eternal life. Lord, I pray this morning that we will remember that all the laws wrapped up into loving you and love our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, may we be a church of loving people and loving you. And Lord, we thank you for what Christ did for us, and we praise you, and we praise your Son, Jesus Christ. While our heads are bowed, maybe you don't have a relationship with God. I want to explain a little bit, maybe help you see you could have a relationship this morning. The Bible says that we've fallen short of God's standard and that the wages of that sin is death. But goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have that relationship. He said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if today's the day you want to make that decision to give your life to Christ, I'm going to pray a prayer and you can just whisper it along with me, realizing you're going to ask Christ to come into your life and be Lord of your life. And the prayer goes like this, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. While heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you really meant it, would you raise your hand up and put it back down and let us begin to pray for you and let God know you meant business. Anybody this morning want to make that commitment? Father, we just thank you so much that we could put our faith and trust in you. May you be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.